soul saints in here know. Ooh, yeah. Oh, Brother Darnell, thank you.
Would I be?
Shiloh Mass Choir, thank you.
Oh, where would I be?
God is alive. I know he's alive. When I look around and I'm alive today, I know God is alive. You don't make 52 years on your own knowledge and wisdom. Do I have any over 80? Know what I'm talking about. You don't make it this far if the Lord had not been on your side. If you're limping today, if you got a little ache and a little pain, I want you to be thankful for the little ache and the little pain. Turn me up just a little bit. Because there's somebody can't even feel their feet. There's somebody laying down wish they could have a little feeling in their fingers. This morning, somebody wished they had a nerve that was working the way it used to be. So if you got a little ache and a little pain, you need to thank God that you can feel that little ache and that little pain this morning. Eternal Father, we thank you for everything. Heavenly Father, even if we got beside ourselves because we had something that we were lacking, Heavenly Father, I'm asking on behalf of everybody forgiveness. Because even when we were lacking, we had plenty. So we thank you, Heavenly Father, for allowing us to have what you allowed us to have. Heavenly Father, because there's somebody right now that don't have nothing to eat. There's somebody right now who has something to eat but can't eat because of some loss of an appetite. So, Heavenly Father, we just want to, I'm asking forgiveness on for all of us. I'm standing in a gap right now. For all the complainers this week. For all those who murmured about this and that. Heavenly Father, it's your servant. Standing in the gap for those who didn't have common sense to say thank you when they got up in the morning. Heavenly Father, this is what you've called me to do, to remind people that you are a God that is alive. And we thank you. We come to give you glory. We come to give you our praise because we need you every hour. We don't know what life holds for the next minute. And so we ask in hand, Father, in faith that you carry us through all the way to the midnight hour. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Amen. Oh, ministers, you may be seated. Ushers, you may be seated. Oh, there's a word from the Lord today. Is that all right? Oh, my God. God is awesome. I don't argue to no man about what he or she wants to believe. But I do know one thing, and two for certain, that God is real. He is real. To the ushers, I want to thank you for your gift to the church last week with the furniture out there in the vestibule. I want to thank you for that. Thank you for beautifying the house of the Lord. To our greeters, thank you. And ushers and all of you for putting smiles on your face as people came into the sanctuary. You may think that's minuscule, but you don't know what somebody went through last night. You don't know what they went through when they got up this morning. And just to see somebody with a smiling face can bring joy into somebody's life. Am I right about that? Walk with me to 2 Corinthians. I'm here to encourage you today the best way I know how, through the word of the Lord. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. And I want to begin at verse 18. And we're going to end up at verse 20, where that is the main focal verse. Okay? Verse 18 in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Verse 20 is on the screen, but just walk with me for 18 and 19. Verse 18 says, "But as surely as God is faithful, our message to you is not yes and no. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by me, Silas, and Timothy, was not yes and no. But in him it has always been yes." Talking about Jesus. Verse 20. "For no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. And so through him, the amen is spoken by us to the glory of God." I already see now you're not getting it. Because this place should have been on fire, knowing that whatever promise God has made, it's a yes and an amen, which means so it is done. All the promises of God are yes and amen. I don't know how to encourage you anymore. For those who had their head down this week, for somebody in here didn't think God heard their prayers. And you know, it's a shame how you limit a God that can make the earth spin 1,000 1/3 miles per hour. It's a shame how people can limit a God who can raise you off your sick bed, bring a child home from being wayward, put your marriage back together again, even put a little joy in your step when you are lacking and God gives you something to make it plenty. But then when it comes to something that hits us, that we got to go through something, now we look at God as if he never heard our prayers. But I'm here to show you what the Word of God says. All of God's promises through Jesus Christ are yes and amen. Can somebody give God some praise for that? Miss Robin, what is my title for today? The message? No broken promises. No broken promises. God has not broke one promise through Jesus Christ. But I can tell you how many folks in here have broke promises to Jesus Christ. Every one of us told God, I'll never do it again. Lord, if you just give me one more chance. Just give me one more. I won't do it again. Lord, if you just help me pass this test, I promise to study next week. Lord, if you help me get to work on time today, I promise I'll get up next week a little earlier to be at work on time. I'm just being common stuff. Lord, if you just help me this week through my diabetes, I promise, Lord, that I won't eat any more pound cake the rest of the week. What you don't know is those little things that you made a promise to God can be a detriment to your life. Sometimes we purpose to serve other people, don't we? Our intent is to help somebody. But it doesn't mean that when we help a person or persons that we tend to serve, it does not mean that they will appreciate the help that they're getting. We purpose to help somebody. But in this life, you have to understand you're going to be leaving your home, sometimes shaking your head, amen, wondering what just happened. Amen. I have spent my energy trying to help my daughter. I've spent my energy trying to give my son wisdom. I done spent my energy trying to help my grandson, trying to help my granddaughter, whoever it may be. But people, there will be times that the people we try to serve from an honest heart, they will not appreciate it. They just won't appreciate it, Miss Chris. I don't care what you do. They will not appreciate what you're trying to do. And so this is what Paul encountered in 1 and 2 Corinthians. Here was a man on his missionary journey. And while he was on his missionary journey, he wrote the first letter called 1 Corinthians. Okay? He wrote that letter. Now, the reason he wrote that letter, because he got a report that there was some foolishness going on down at the church. Now, this church is where what Paul started. Paul started this church and got these people on the road to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. But he gets a report, and it's horrible. And if you read 1 Corinthians, they had lawsuits amongst one another because people borrowed money and never paid it back. Do we not have that today? I ain't talking about on the outside. I'm talking about on the inside. Lawsuits, sexual immorality issues. They were fighting about spiritual gifts. There was a brother in the church who was going with his father's wife. They had power abuse issues. They had marriage problems. They had problems with the order of worship service. They had problems with the Lord's Supper. They just was a messed up church after Paul left. And what I want to show you is nothing that was going on in that church has we have not experienced today. Nothing the modern day church has not experienced will not surprise me. There's nothing that will surprise Pastor Anthony Robinson Sr. right now. You can't tell me that it won't happen right now. There used to be a day and time that you would say, I don't believe that's going to happen in the church. But in times that we live in, you can about expect anything to happen in the church. This is why our policy is that anytime some foolishness arises, it is our policy to jump on it as soon as we can so it don't fester and mess with the body of the saints. The longer you allow foolishness to creep around, that's when you might as well close the church doors up. Because if you don't get a grip on that mess, it's going to fester and it's going to turn into a cancer, and the fellowship of the body is going to suffer. That's why we do what we do. That's why there's some things right now that's going on, and I'm going to find out, not by you. The Lord has a way of working in mysterious forms when you're close to him like me. He shows me things. And I'm going to find out. So when I take an overall assessment of the church, I can't be mad at the church. Here's why. Because the church is here for the spiritually sick. So whatever happens in the church, I have to look at it as somebody is spiritually sick. And they need some type of healing to get turned around in their thinking and behavior. So most of the time people say, the church isn't this and the church isn't that. No, the church is what it's supposed to be. A place for the sin sick to come in and get corrected. The local assembly called the church is where people who are flawed in spiritual nature come to rise above their spiritual mediocrity. The church is for the spiritually flawed who come and gather with those who have come out of darkness and are now walking into the marvelous light to get support so that they can have a testimony, so that they can say that if he or she can come out of their spiritual sickness, if I keep coming, I can get the aid of the support of the Holy Spirit to help me get where they are at now. You can't get spiritually changed going to the ball game. The only way you get spiritually influenced is you got to come to the hospital called the church. So if there are problems in the church, it's where they can come and get corrected so that they, when they come in with the problem, they'll come out solved. And if you're looking for a church where you can be free from mess, and I'm going to say this because there are some people who think, there are people who think they can go to church and be free from people's mess. And if you're one of them, you're living in a fantasy land. Because I just told you the church is for the spiritually flawed. If you're seeking for a church where people know they are flawed, know that they have issues, know that they got problems, and have laid their burdens down at Jesus' feet, and so that they can rely on God and the Holy Spirit to move them, then you're at the right place. Because this is a place for messed up people. I don't want no spiritually perfected people. First of all, you won't get one. But this is a place for spiritually flawed people, messed up people. Can I get a witness? As I said before, who have stepped out of their darkness and is now walking in the marvelous light. This is a place where messed up people have found grace, mercy, redemption. Can I get a witness here? Forgiveness. They have found a place where they can come and say, I messed up, Lord. But you are going to make me perfect in the end of our day. This is a place where people are so messed up that we're still learning how to walk by faith and not by sight. But what I love about this church is that we're walking together in our mess, but yet being perfected by the aid of the Holy Spirit. We fall down, but we got somebody that will help us get up. This is the church we are. So if you're looking for a perfect church, you can go now. Keep on church hopping and church shopping. Because this church is for the messed up and the flawed who are walking with grace now. Mercy, redemption, forgiveness. And we're so imperfect that God has given us eternal life. How you like that now? Huh? How you like me now? I'm so messed up that God gave this imperfected individual eternal life. There's no place where silly comments won't be made about you. I don't know what people are looking for. There's not one place that something won't be said about you. There's not one place where gossip won't erupt about you. There's not one place that you can go and you will not run into somebody with a jacked up attitude. There's not one place you can run to that you will find somebody with a mask on, pretending that everything is all right, but down inside they sick to the core. No, you won't find one place where you won't run into somebody pretending to be something that they're not. So I don't know what people are looking for. Because everywhere you go, you're going to run into people who are flawed in their nature. Even walking with Christ, they're going to mess up every now and then, either unintentionally or intentionally. So I don't know what people are looking for today. I don't care where you go. You're going to find somebody that don't like you. And you ain't got to do nothing. Just walk in the room. And the moment you can be there 5 minutes, and you can spot the ones who don't like you. Because they stand you up and they stand you down. That's in the church, in school, at work, at the bus stop, at the shopping center, wherever you go. You can't go nowhere without somebody being messed up in the mind. So what makes you think you could come to church? And not find somebody jacked up. Can I get a witness today? Huh? What makes you think that? Sometimes you can't even get along at home with the ones you love. So what makes you think you can come to church and get in love with everybody in the house of God? There's some folks that just don't want to be loved. And there's some folks who don't know how to love. And the moment you try to get close to them, they'll sabotage it so that you won't get used to them. They'll put a mask on, knowing they broke is all get out. But they'll wear that mask, knowing they're hurting inside. They'll wear that mask. So, if you're one of those people, now I'm going to get into this thing real quick. If you're one of those people who are looking for a perfect church, but yet you're flawed to the core too, then you're borderline a hypocrite. Because you're seeking for something that you're not. How can you seek for something perfected when you're not perfected? So you're walking a very thin line on hypocritism. Somebody help me understand this. Huh? Somebody walk with me today. How somebody can look for a perfect church, but they're not perfect themselves and will never be perfect while they're on this earth. But until God changes them, then the day of glorification, when God said you've been made perfect in Christ Jesus. But you'll never be perfect while you're on this earth. So why are you looking for something perfect that you're not? Can I get a witness, Freddie Mars? This is a place for the sick individuals, and I'm number one. I'm the sickest in here. Y'all ain't sick. I'm the sickest. Because if I don't share that I'm sick, then I'm on borderline hypocriticism too. When I was called, I knew I was coming into an imperfect situation because the people are imperfect just like me. So for those who want to keep on church hopping and church shopping, you're crazy as all get out. Because what I'm trying to tell you, you'll never find a perfect church because you're not perfect. All you're going to do is go in there and make it more imperfect. So in Corinthians, everybody all right now? So I had to tell you this so that Paul could, so you can understand what Paul had to go through. Paul had to deal with some foolishness of people just like today, thinking they perfect. And so Paul had to deal with this problem, y'all. He said, when I come back, he said, I'm going to fellowship with you. I'm going to mingle with you. We're going to minister together. But Paul never shows up. So the people now, some of them, are tripping. They tripping now. Because some of the folks in the church forgot that they done blew appointments too. They done forgot that they said yes. But the yes turned to a no. And then didn't even call to say, I'm sorry. Just let it go. Leaving somebody there waiting for you after you said, yes, I'm coming. Yes, I'll be there. But when Brother Paul didn't show up, he had half of the church saying, look, brothers, you don't know what happened to him. You know he's sick. You know the man gets arrested everywhere he go. Huh? Are we thinking? Is someone starting to say something could have happened to our brother? But no. The perfect people was tripping. The perfect people started murmuring and started tearing down Paul's character. Now, here was a man who raised them up, started them on the road to seeing Jesus. He had been there and back. Now, because he's been there, you would think they know his character. You would think that they will understand that something could have happened. Do you not know that people will do the same thing to you? The moment you mess up in your flawed character, the same people you raised up and they was cheering for you will be the same folks who booing you and putting you down. Knowing that you have never been mistrustworthy, he even says, brothers and sisters, my yes has always been yes, and my no has always been no. He said, but life gets in the way. He said, I had to change my course, and I changed it because until you get better, I'll come and see you again. Here's what James 4:13 says that Paul had to learn. And I'm going to say what James 4:13, beginning at 4:13 says. You don't know what tomorrow will hold. I'm going to tell you what James 4:13, beginning at 13 says. He said, you don't know what tomorrow may hold because your life is a vapor, which means you can be living one moment and gone the next. James said, if you're going to say something to somebody, you should say, if the Lord wills to do this or that. That keeps you out of a whole lot of trouble from the perfected people. Because if you don't say that to the perfected people, the perfected people will say you are a liar and not see that life can take a swing at any time of your life. And so Paul tries to explain from verses 1 through 19 why he didn't show up. But one thing I like about Paul, and I'm getting ready to close this, Paul said, you can be mad at me. That's what Paul said. Paul said, I know you're upset at me. I know you don't call me everything but a child of God. But you done did this behind my poor back. He said, but I know you done lost confidence in me because I said yes, but my yes turned to no. He said, but one thing for sure, and two for certain, that you cannot say that the gospel that I preach did not save your soul. He said, when the gospel touched your soul, it was a yes and an amen. He said, you can be mad at me all you want to be. He said, but when the Lord changed my life, he said, it was a yes and an amen. He said, yes, I didn't show up. And you so mad at me because I didn't show up. But one thing for sure and two for certain, that when you called on the name of Jesus, I know the Jesus that you called on showed up, and it was a yes and an amen. He said, when you were sick and couldn't get well, he said, no, I didn't show up, but you called on Jesus' name. He said, Jesus said, I promise healing for all your sin sickness. He said, if you got a bad foot ache. He said, you call on my name, it's a yes and an amen. He said, when you was hungry, didn't I feed you? Because my promises are a yes and an amen. He said, when you was blinded and couldn't see, he said, when I opened your eyes to see what God can really do, he said, it was a yes and an amen. He said the times when I said, if I go, that's a yes and an amen. If I go, I'm going to come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, you may be also. That's a yes and an amen. When you die, Jesus said, are you going to rise again? And you're going to be glorified with him and the Father. That's a yes and an amen. When you woke up this morning, God promised that if he wakes you up, you'll see a new day. That's a yes and an amen. Paul said, I don't care if you're mad at me. He said, but you're not going to discredit the promises that Jesus said that I preached to you. He said, everything that God promises through Jesus is a yes and an amen. Even when you didn't want to call on him, great is thy faithfulness. New mercies every morning. You didn't hear me. You got new mercies every morning. Even if you did not say thank you, Lord, last night, you woke up this morning with a yes and an amen. Because the promise is, great is thy faithfulness. And that is a yes and an amen. Come on, give God that praise. That's a yes and an amen.